Eagles Drive and R 24th Street.
Good afternoon, community. Welcome to our second episode of The Cop Shop with FPD. I'm Georgette Allen, Public Information Officer with the Farmington Police Department. I'm here with today's guests, Corporal Nick Bloomfield and Officer Brandon Downs. Both are with our Training and Recruiting Division. Good afternoon. I almost said good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
So today we're going to share with our listeners the recruiting process and what it takes to become an officer at the Farmington Police Department. So do you guys just want to give me a quick rundown of what the process is, and then we're going to kind of dissect each piece of that?
Sure. So basically the hiring process with Farmington Police Department is going to have several steps to it. The first step is going to be to go onto the City of Farmington's website, look for the job openings, locate the Farmington police officer open position, fill out an online application. From there, you'll be in communication with the Human Resources Division for the City of Farmington, at which point they will give you directions on how to take our written exam. You will first complete the written exam and then move on to our physical fitness assessment. From the physical fitness assessment, you'll move on to an oral board where you'll go in front of a panel of different officers to answer a series of questions. If you successfully pass the oral board process, you'll move on to our background investigation. If you successfully pass the background investigation, you'll move on to the polygraph, the medical, and our psychological evaluation. If you've completed all those steps successfully, you'll be put in the queue for the hiring and potentially go to our next available police academy.
Some of the frequently asked questions that we get, and really for those who are really interested or maybe had considered it but didn't know what the process is, we'll try to do our best today to give you guys all the information that that we see out there that people are kind of uninformed on, so that they have a good grasp on how to actually get into the profession and how they can start a career in law enforcement at Farmington PD.
Great. And to let everybody know, where is our academy located? Like, would I have to travel out of town to go to the academy?
No, currently the academy that we send all of our officers to is the San Juan Criminal Justice Training Authority, which is actually a local academy that's actually housed at Safety City, which is going to be just outside of the city limits of Farmington. It is not an academy where you have to live on site, like if you were to go to a Santa Fe academy or something like that, where you'd be expected to basically live there. Our academy allows you to show up every single morning, attend any type of class, and finish up every day at around 4 o'clock, and then still be able to go home to your family in the evenings and on the weekends.
Like a regular job. That's great.
Yes, ma'am.
And we also, we have recruits from all over the state, correct?
Yeah, so the academy that takes place, that, like we said, is at the San Juan Criminal Justice Training Authority, and it houses academies from around the county. Farmington PD sends their officers along with Aztec PD, Bloomfield PD, San Juan County Sheriff's Department, New Mexico Game and Fish, the Livestock Commission. It's a regional academy that allows anybody from the area to go through it, and that's where we choose to send our officers, and a majority of the instructors come from the Farmington Police Department.
That's great. So we're pretty fortunate in our community to have that here, so people can continue to go home to their families every night, people who are from the area, and still go through the academy. And so we also just finished up, or are finishing up, we have a CSO Academy, or a Community Service Officer Academy. And this is that the third one?
Yes, that's correct. You know, we've had our CSO program for years at the Farmington Police Department. What we wanted to do was we wanted to, use our CSO position, which is our community service officer position, valuable position to the agency. But we had a lot of younger individuals in the community who had an interest in law enforcement. Again, and we'll go over this information again more in detail as we go through this hour. But you have to be 21 years old in order to apply for a career in law enforcement.
Quick question, sorry, before you move on. Do I have to be 21 to apply, or do I need to be 21 by the time I finish up the academy?
Yeah, it's when you graduate from the academy, you need to be 21.
Okay.
And that's all regulated by the state. That's what the state requires. For a law enforcement certification in the state of New Mexico. But we get a lot of interest from people who are just graduating high school. They know they want to be in law enforcement. And so, but then again, they have a couple of years before they're going to meet that minimum age requirement. And so as a CSO, it's a non-sworn position. And so what that allows us to do is it allows us to get the younger members of the community involved, and they can actually have a position in police work. They go out there and they handle calls within the community. They're basically calls that they don't ever handle calls where suspects are involved or anything that would require any type of law enforcement involvement. And so they do investigations. They assist law enforcement. Again, there's a whole variety of things that they can do, which our listeners can, look up for themselves on the website. But again, that's a transition process. So if you are able to apply and become one of our CSOs, we put you through a six-week in-house academy. You're able to be out on the street. You're able to get out there and work with the officers. You work shift work. And then we call it a transitional position where you have 3 years to meet the minimum requirements, which of course for most of them is going to be the minimum age requirement, as well as there's physical fitness standards and some other requirements in order to get to the academy. Once they meet those standards, then they actually transition and we end up sending them to the academy once they've met those minimum requirements.
Great. And it sounds like one of the best benefits of that program is you're already getting that training. So you're learning the 10 code, you're learning the geography, the crimes and whatnot. So you kind of have that foundation right before you go into the bigger police academy.
Yeah, what we have found out of the academies that we've done so far in the transitional positions is that they end up doing very well when they transition into the full law enforcement position. For the reasons that you just listed, they are already successful in report writing. They're already successful in the city geography. They're successful in talking on the radio, the 10 code, like you said. And so when it comes time to going into the FTO program, they're not necessarily having to learn all of that, along with also having to learn all the ins and outs of being a cop itself, where somebody who has not been a CSO previously is having to learn how to talk on the radio, having to learn how to write a report, learning the geography on top of officer safety skills, proper search and seizure, stuff like that, where they're just inundated with a lot of stuff that a CSO already has a leg up in knowing, how to do half of that already from the CSO position. So sure. That it tends to be very beneficial for them, and they end up being usually very successful and good officers for us.
Great, which makes for a more successful department, which is a benefit to the community.
Absolutely.
So, and for our listeners, FTO is field training officer, and they'll talk about that a little bit more as we go through the process of recruiting. Okay, so let's get started. I say I want to be an officer, and I know absolutely nothing about the recruiting process. What do I do first?
Okay, so the first thing that you're going to do as far as our hiring process is concerned, all of our application is done through the City of Farmington and the job portal that the City of Farmington has. So if you're interested in becoming a police officer, you'll go to the City of Farmington's website. Okay. You'll look for the job openings. You'll find the position listed for police officer or CSO for hiring at the time. You'll fill out the online application. Once you fill out the online application, you'll continue to get correspondence from the Human Resources Division with the City of Farmington on how to take the written test. Once you have taken the written test and successfully passed it, we will have open physical fitness testing dates. The physical fitness testing dates typically are on a Saturday morning, about once a month. You'll come and you'll conduct the physical fitness assessment. If you pass it appropriately, you will be scheduled for an oral board assessment, which is where you will sit in front of a panel of three other officers. You will be asked a series of different questions. If you pass the oral board appropriately, you will then go on to a pretty extensive background check. If the background check is completed and you're successfully passing the background, you'll move on to our medical evaluation, our psychological evaluation, and our polygraph test. If you complete all of those appropriately, you would most likely be given a job offer and a tentative start date for an academy. And like you had mentioned before, we tend to run two academies a year out at the San Juan Criminal Justice Training Authority. They tentatively run starting in January, and another one that tends to start in July. So we run them about every 6 months.
January and July. Okay. So that was kind of a timeline of how things happen. So let's dissect these a little bit more for our listeners. So you said after you jump online and you put in your application, then you go and take a written test. So who administers this test?
Currently, the written tests are a series of online tests called Work Keys. That's something that's looking to transition probably in the next 6 months. But basically, they're done at Workforce Solutions or the San Juan College Testing Center, along with other testing locations throughout the country. They can go to and they can test those. And there's three different tests that they would take. One would be a workplace observation test. The other one's going to be business writing test, and then a listening for understanding test.
Okay.
Those three tests are all scored on a scale of 1 to 5. The workplace observation, we require a score of 2. The business writing and the listening for understanding requires a score of 3 to be passing.
So these aren't law enforcement specific. This is kind of just like general knowledge that you learned in high school kind of
thing. it's like aptitude testing, you know. Okay. It's just to make sure that that the applicants have a you know, standard knowledge, that they meet a certain threshold as far as their ability to grasp concepts. One of the things a lot of people don't consider is you know, as law enforcement, you know, in addition to the things that I think everyone thinks about when they think about police work, there's a lot of misunderstanding about how much paperwork we actually do, how much report writing we do. And people need to have a good grasp of the English language. They need to have a good grasp of how to articulate things and how to document. And so, again, it's just testing to measure that people have, again, a good structural background, so they'll be successful when it comes to those type of things.
Okay, great. And then let's say I fail a portion of it. Can I retake it? How do I have to wait a certain amount of time?
So if you fail a written portion, you can take it again a second time. If you fail any portion of the written a second time, it is a 1 year before you can take it again. Now, you can go to the testing locations, for example, and tell them you want to take the test, and they would let you take it. However, the results that we would need to see, we do require, as far as in-house goes, a 1 year wait period after a second failure.
Okay.
The physical portion, you can take as many times as you need to. There's not a parameter on it as far as a time frame on the wait. For any of the rest of them, as far as the oral board, polygraph, psych, and medical, there's a 1 year wait period if you fail any of those after the first try.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. We're going to take a quick break here in a minute, but before we do, we would like to continue to remind the public about the dangers our men and women in law enforcement face every day. Just last week, an Albuquerque officer was shot in the shoulder at a domestic violence call. The officer was on perimeter when he was shot, and FPD wishes him a speedy recovery. We'll be back after a short break. Backyard barbecues and days at the lake. It's summertime. If you're enjoying an adult beverage while partaking in the season's festivities, please drink responsibly and use a designated driver. Keeping our roadways safe is a priority, and it takes teamwork. So we are asking our citizens to remember RAD, report aggressive and drunk driving, by calling 911. Wishing you a fun and safe summer from the Farmington Police Department. Your department, our community.
Hi, I'm Yael Cassander.
And I'm Don Glass.
And we host A Moment of Science.
For more than 20 years, A Moment of Science has been taking an entertaining look at the science behind some of life's most perplexing questions.
In just 2 minutes, you get a look at the fascinating world around us and beyond.
We hope you'll tune in.
For more information about A Moment of Science or to download our latest podcasts, visit us at amomentofscience.org.
Listen weekday afternoons at 5:45 on KSJE.
We are back with the Cop Shop with FPD. And if you're just tuning in, I'm Georgette Allen, Public Information Officer with the Farmington Police Department. And I'm here with my guests today, Corporal Nick Bloomfield and Officer Brandon Downs. Both are with our Training and Recruiting Division. So for a quick recap, we are going over the recruiting process. And Officer Downs was explaining we apply through the City of Farmington, putting in an online application. There's a written portion. From there, you do the physical, the oral board.
Psychological.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Then our medical, and then our polygraph.
Polygraph. Wait, we lost the background in there somewhere.
So it was a background after the oral board.
There
but
you
yes.
go. Okay. All right. So I think we had worked our way up to the physical standards. You said they do those on Saturdays, and we always announce those. We put them on our website, and then we also put them on our Facebook page. So be sure to follow us if you're interested in applying with FPD. So if I want to go out there and I want to try for the physical, what do you have some tips to help me condition to pass this. If I, you know, I don't go to the gym, I kind of don't know what I'm doing to condition myself, what are some tips that you have?
Sure. So the areas that we're going to test in that you'll make sure that you want to practice on is a lot of running, a lot of conditioning as far as your running goes. And then we do push-ups and sit-ups. So we will test for push-ups and sit-ups. Our push-ups, you've got to complete 15 of them in a minute to get into the entry level to get into the academy. And then for the sit-ups, you've got to complete 27 of them within a minute to get into the academy. The mile and a half has to be done in 15 minutes and 45 seconds. Again, that's an entry level into the academy. And then the sprint, which is a 300-meter sprint, has got to be done in 71 seconds in order to get into the academy. So with that being said, it's kind of an all-encompassing on the physical fitness level. You've got to have some endurance to do the mile and a half, but you've got to have some kind of speed workouts to do the sprint. And then obviously our push-ups and our sit-ups are pretty self-explanatory. If you want to increase push-ups, we've got to get down and do more push-ups. Same thing with sit-ups. If you want to increase your ab strength and your core, let's do more core exercises. And then as far as the runs go, you've just got to get out there and do them. Those times aren't something that are an Olympic athlete speed. A reasonable person with a reasonable amount of physical activity and a willingness to get out there and run a couple of times a week can meet those standards pretty reasonably. Just make sure that you're doing both kinds of workouts. We've had people come and test with us that have really only done like a distance type work, and so they do really well when it comes to the mile and a half, but then they have trouble when it comes to the sprint. And then we've had people that are the opposite. They'll go out and they have no problem, you know, doing a sprint workout where they practice doing 100 yards here or there, but they don't ever do more than 400 yards. So when they go to do the mile and a half, they end up having trouble there.
Okay. So just to clarify, this isn't something I can get out there and prepare myself without having to get an expensive gym membership. This is something I can do on my own. I can do the push-ups at my house. I can do the sit-ups at my house. I can go out and run the track at one of the schools or my neighborhood or whatnot. So again, absolutely, I don't have to hire somebody to...
Absolutely. I mean, most people shouldn't need a personal trainer or expensive gym membership to make it happen. It's just a lot of willingness and a heart to get out there and push yourself.
Good. Okay. And then, so moving on, what about the background check? How long does that typically take?
That's going to average anywhere from probably 6 weeks to 10 weeks. A lot of it's going to be dependent upon what you're going to have in your background and where you're from. If it's somebody who we've got to do a background on that's lived in a lot of different places and had a lot of different addresses and stuff throughout their life, we've got to go to all those places and contact those people. That's going to take a little bit longer as far as the background goes. If you were born and raised in Farmington and never really lived anywhere else, those are going to be a quicker background. In order to contact some of the people that we need to in reference to those, we can expedite that process a little bit because it's not as difficult geography wise as somebody who's kind of been all over the place.
Sure. That's understandable. So, and then what are some of the things that would disqualify a candidate that would pop up in their background?
So
I was going to just chime in on that. You know, as far as disqualifications, we'll let Officer Downs basically go over what the state requires, because we're talking about a state certification, law enforcement certification, and then okay, I'll speak to some of the things that we look at specifically as an agency.
Okay.
So some of the major disqualifiers are going to be any type of domestic violence conviction. Any type of felony conviction isn't necessarily going to be something that we can get past. Other than that, we look for drug use, nothing more than within the last 3.5 years, especially for a conviction. Same with the DWI. If you had a DWI, you've got to wait 3.5 years for that. And those are going to be some real black and white. If you have that on your record, you're not going to pass a background. And then,
and that's according to state standards,
yeah,
correct?
And then okay, everything else is going to be subjective. If you end up having some kind of credit issue in the past, that can cause us a hiccup, but depending on the situation, that may be something that becomes subjective or explainable. You know what I mean? If you've maybe gotten into some kind of financial trouble because of major medical bills or something that you didn't necessarily have a lot of control over because you had to put a kid in the hospital for whatever reason or something like that, but you're making payments and you're working on it, then that's something that's explainable.
Sure. So explain to our listeners why the credit check. What does it matter to the police department if I have some flawed credit or overdue bills that, you know, I got behind on. So where does that
Well, as law enforcement officers, you know, we're placed in a lot of positions where just from the nature of the job, we're on scenes. We may be handling, you know, other people's currency. There's also positions like, let's say one day you're going to be working in the narcotics division. You're using certain funds and things like that to do controlled purchases. And so, again, just the whole idea of handling evidence and currency and money and things of value. We just find that, you know, people that are fiscally responsible would hopefully not be tempted in those situations. And so, again, it is, it's all about integrity. It's all about accountability on the part of the officers. And so when we see people that, that struggle fiscally, you know, there's just more temptation there possibly. And we don't ever want that to be an issue for our officers. And again, it also just shows that this person, that they have a grasp on personal responsibility. They're able to manage their finances. And if they're able to manage their finances, then hopefully they have a pattern in their lives where they're able to manage other things well, and they'll be a reliable employee.
Sure. Sure. So, and as a matter of references and whatnot, so say, you know, I put somebody on there as a reference and they give me a terrible, terrible reference. You guys looking at an overall, is it kind of depending on, you know, what is the topic of the negativity? Is that making sense? So.
Sure. And again, that's all subjective. Of course, depending on what the negativity is and what it is, I mean, it may be something that this person is upset about and passionate about and isn't necessarily giving you a good reference, but the topic may be something about, you know, they borrowed my car and brought it back dirty or something, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So we take all of that with a grain of salt. We ended up having to do background checks on a lot of people that have, you know, ex-wives or ex-husbands. We don't expect them to get glaring recommendations from ex-wives and ex-husbands. So it's all taken in perspective for what we might be getting from those people.
Sure. So let's see. We've covered the written test. We've covered our background and then the physicals. There's probably nothing you can obviously do to prepare yourself for the psych eval. That's just you're going in and taking it. Is that administered here as well?
Yeah, it's done at a local psychologist's office here. We utilize Dr. John Kaler, and
okay.
He will give you a series of different tests and then a short interview with him to determine your eligibility and aptitude for a profession in law enforcement.
Okay. And about how long should candidates expect to be in there? What is that?
So that's a pretty extensive test. You're going to take two different tests via like a Scantron format. Each one is a couple hundred questions. So when it comes time to actually taking the psychological, you're going to want to clear about a half a day,
okay.
Anywhere from 3 to 4 hours for your psychological evaluation.
Okay. And so then when that comes back, is it a written report from the doctor, or is it a yes, I recommend this person, no, I don't?
It's both. we get a written report from Dr. Kaler, and in the conclusion of his written report, it's going to be a recommendation for continuation in the process. And then in addition to that, he's got to fill out some forms that are required for us in order to get you into an academy. But it's
okay.
Basically both.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Is there anything I'm missing that you'd like to share with the listeners about the process right
Yeah,
there.
I think some of the things on the process, just, you know, from our experience and what we've seen with candidates who come through and some of the areas that maybe they've struggled with, where just some extra preparation and attention to detail could have maybe made the difference with them being a successful candidate with the Farmington Police Department. You know, as far as, yeah, I think it really starts once you've passed those standard aptitude tests and you get into the physical testing. You know, you need to take some time to do some preparation. We get a lot of candidates that are maybe a little bit younger. They're 21 and they think, well, I was a high school athlete. I have been active and all these things. And, you know, and then so they think, oh, well, I don't really need to prepare. I'll be able to do what I did just a couple of years ago in high school. And we find that that's not the
case.
They
don't realize just those couple of years being out and you lose
yes,
those
yes,
abilities.
Absolutely. And so again, so in all things, you know, prep yourself, you know, go out and time yourself, have friends help you, and just kind of see, you know, the standards we can provide them for you. They're easy to get a hold of, but know where you're at going in, because we have a lot of people who go in and they're like, oh, I thought I was in better shape than what I really was. And so go out and test yourself and find out where you're at. As far as making it to the interview process, again, we ask a variety of questions on the interview. A lot of them are linked to, again, what the standard requirements are from the state and from ourselves. But the biggest thing there is, you know, you're looking at getting into a career in law enforcement. And one of the defining things, and we talk about it all the time as an agency, and you'll hear it anywhere in the country that you go, is it's really a profession that's based on integrity. And so you need to show that you're an honest person, that you're willing to disclose information, even sensitive personal information. And you're doing that so that we can, you know, have information that we need to make an adequate assessment of where you're at. And also, it just shows the type of caliber person you are as far as your own personal belief system and morals that you hold for yourself. And that's one of the biggest things, is we'll find people, they'll come in and they'll think, well, you know, I don't want to disclose this information because they'll disqualify me off of it, and they hold it back. And it turns out that what they were holding back, actually, we can work with you on that. It's sure. The fact that you failed to disclose the information that shows, again, a lack of personal integrity. And so that's the biggest thing. We're really, you know, other than the things that are drawn in the sand based on the state requirements and things like that, in a lot of cases, even people with, you know, maybe they've struggled a little bit financially, but they're making efforts, you know, to correct their credit histories and things like that. Or, you know, everyone has a past when they were a teenager, you know, they had a run-in with the police. And, you know, there's those type of things. And really, we get it. We understand it. No one's perfect, and we're not expecting perfection. And I think a lot of people would actually be surprised how much we actually work with people, and how reasonable we can be as far as getting them to go forward. But what we can't work with someone with is if that they don't let us know, and we find that they're withholding information and not being completely honest. That's where we run into the difficulty. And then the last thing I'll speak to on the interview process is we are looking for well-rounded people, you know. And even though you're young, if you have a desire to get into law enforcement, you know, if you can get a job now, if you can start education, if you can do anything that shows that you have a personal drive to better yourself, those things are all good. A lot of our younger candidates kind of have a hard time showing that they have a lot of life experience. But if I have a candidate who ever since, you know, the age of 14 to 16, he's held down a job, he, you know, he's gone to school, and as soon as he graduated high school, he went to college, and he's almost about to, you know, graduate with an associate's degree, they can show, or even, you know, military applicants, they can show that, hey, even though I'm young, I've done all these things to better myself and to move myself forward, and they can show some life experience and some responsibility, and they tend to be more successful.
Sure. And, oh, well, it's almost time for a quick break here, and then we're going to come back. It's a perfect segue. You mentioned college, so we're going to come back to that. But before we go, we would like to remind everybody, if you've registered your kids for our soccer camp this Saturday, please make sure that you bring your child with a sack lunch, shin guards, they are mandatory, sunscreen, and other proper soccer attire. We'll be back in just a moment.
Did you know most auto burglaries that happen in Farmington are of unlocked vehicles? Reduce your chances of falling victim to auto burglary by remembering to lock, take, and hide. Lock your vehicle and set the alarm. Take valuables out of your vehicle, including electronics, purses, and firearms. Hide valuables from plain sight by placing them in the trunk or under the seat. This safety tip is brought to you by the Farmington Police Department. Your department, our community.
KSJE, the information and cultural beacon of the Four Corners, is proud to support the Cottonwood Concert Series with the Farmington Public Library on select Fridays this summer. Join us at 3:30 p.m. inside the library rotunda, and again at 6 p.m. outdoors in the North Amphitheater. Friday, July 28th, Joker's Wild. The Cottonwood Concert Series at the Farmington Public Library, supported by 90.9 FM KSJE Farmington.
We are back on the Cop Shop with FPD. I'm Georgette Allen, Public Information Officer with the Farmington Police Department. I am here with Corporal Nick Bloomfield and Officer Brandon Downs with our Training and Recruiting Division. So before the break, we were you had mentioned about if somebody was trying to prepare themselves, and you mentioned college and whatnot. Perfect segue into talking about some of the benefits hiring on with the Farmington Police Department, because we actually offer a little bit more incentive pay according to your education level, correct? So
that is correct. So the benefits that we have for an education incentive is if you have an associate's degree, we will pay you an additional $1,500 a year. If you have a bachelor's degree, we'll give you an additional $2,000 a year. And for a master's degree, it's an additional $2,500 a year.
Okay. And can they be a degree in
the degree subject does not matter at all.
Okay.
And even if you necessarily haven't even reached an associate's degree, maybe you have 60 credits or something like that, the city of Farmington will actually give you that as a credit, and you can earn a certain dollar amount based off of the amount of credits that you do have.
Okay. And then if I hire on also, we have some type of incentive to work towards a degree, correct? Our academy working with the college.
Yeah, so we have a couple of different things in place for that. The city of Farmington does offer tuition reimbursement for you. Basically, if you attend college and you can go and show that you received a passing grade in your class, the city of Farmington will give you tuition reimbursement. And then in addition to that, San Juan College has actually set up a scholarship foundation for anybody that's a Farmington Police Department employee. So if you're an employee for the Farmington Police Department and you do attend San Juan College, you have a scholarship fund specifically available to you as a Farmington PD employee.
Okay. And then all those credits through the police academy also transfer, right?
Yeah. So while you attend the police academy, like we mentioned earlier, you will get approximately 30 college credits for attending the police academy itself. So even if you have no college experience and you get in with us and fully employed and you finish the academy, you'll have about 30 credit hours. You can then take those 30 credit hours to the city of Farmington and they'll pay you for those.
Okay, great. And then, so what are some of the other benefits with hiring on with FPD? So we have a great retirement plan.
We do. So our current retirement plan is a 25-year retirement at 75% of your 5-year average salary. So what that means, if you work for us for 25 years, you will get 75% of that pay rate for your highest 5 years, which is better than just about any other public retirement system around.
Oh, that's great. And that's through the state of New Mexico.
Yes.
And then if I say I worked somewhere else at another state entity, am I able to carry that over apply that?
Yeah, so our retirement program is through para. So if you worked for anywhere else in the state and it was a para agency, then that para time will count towards the 25-year para time that you would need to retire from Farmington Police Department.
Okay. And then as far as vacation and sick leave, so that's like an important thing. Mm-hmm. rather than you get your two weeks a year, how do we have vacation accrual. So can you kind of explain that? Because it's kind of a tier level depending on how much time
you
have.
Sure. So our vacation and our holiday pay for any of our shift employees is 160 hours per year, which mm-hmm. is typically four weeks worth of pay. And then it increases to 200 hours per year after you've been with us, I think, 9 years, and then 96 hours a year of sick time. So okay. it's a pretty big benefit, plenty of time off. Most of your typical employers throughout the area will give you two weeks of paid vacation a year. We're with Farmington PD, you're getting 160 hours, so the equivalent of four weeks worth of work a year just in vacation alone, before we even talk about the 96 hours of sick leave that you can get.
Sure. Okay. So that's a great benefit. Having that time off to recoup and take care of yourself is important.
Absolutely.
In this type of field.
And for those of you that might not be aware, Farmington PD works a 4 10-hour schedule. So not only do you get, 4 weeks off a year, but every single week you have 3 days off. So it's not too hard to even have a 4-day weekend by throwing a vacation day on there either way. So it's definitely a good health and wellness benefit for our officers in order to have plenty of time off.
Absolutely. And then so once you're on and you're off FTO and your probation, you're kind of climbing up. You got some other people behind you, so you're not the low man on the totem pole. And you're getting to bid the shifts. How does that work then? How many shifts do we have?
Sure. So the city of Farmington currently offers three different shifts. We have a day shift, and then we have a swing shift, and then a graveyard shift. Those shifts go for 6 months at a time. The bid process, as you mentioned, basically is a seniority-based system. So if you have been a patrol officer for the longest, you'll bid first. And we go by the shift that you want, and then we'll go by the days off that you want. Farmington PD currently works on what we call a squad schedule, which means we only offer two sets of days off, but everybody will at least get one weekend day. What that means is you will either have Thursday, Friday, Saturday off, or you will have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off. So when it comes time to bid, you will bid your shift. So say I'm a senior officer and I want to work day shift. And so I will bid days, and then I will say, okay, I want my days off to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay. And so that's how our bid process works. And so you'll have either one of three shifts or one, and then one of two sets of days off.
Okay. And that, I mean, that could come down. That's important, having that ability to bid that, especially for somebody who has children, whether they're single or, you know, their spouse works a different shift, so they can kind of work with that. And that's, is that a common question that you get?
Absolutely. Obviously, there's plenty of people that have families or significant others, and that determines, you know, when they take vacation, whether they take college classes or not. It can vary in a lot of different areas. So the nice thing for us is, you can bid whatever shift you want. It doesn't necessarily force you to change at any point. If you say, you know, want to take college classes, and all those college classes are typically at, you know, 10 or 11 in the morning throughout the normal work week, then you may want to take a swing shift schedule. So you can bid swings for 2 years straight while you get an associate's degree, because you'll come to work at 4 in the afternoon and you'll get off at 2 in the morning. Not too much of a big deal to go home, go to bed, wake up at 9:30, go to your class, and you don't have to take any time off, and you can basically be a full-time college student with no issue. Where if you were told that you had to change, you know, once every two bids or something like that, it could mess up your childcare schedule. It could mess up any type of college schedule or anything you want as far as that goes.
So it's kind of just another way FPD supports the whole the family unit, and, you know, trying
Absolutely.
To juggle that work-life balance.
Yes.
So, and another benefit, so Farmington Police Department is considered a mid-size agency, am I correct?
Correct.
And so a benefit with that, as opposed to a very small agency that might not have specialty divisions, and then a very, very large agency where you might have to work 15 years, say, in the jail or whatever, we've got specialty divisions. And so can you share some of those, and maybe how long, like SWAT, for instance, like how long you have to be on with the PD to join SWAT or canines or...
Yeah, absolutely. We are a mid-sized agency. Like I said, we're, you know, 137 sworn officers. You know, within, we get a lot of different people that are interested in getting into law enforcement, and they talk about, oh, you know, I've applied with different agencies, and so why Farmington PD? Well, within the area, I'll just speak, you know, to a couple, you know, statistics here locally, is we're the largest police agency within the area. That offers us a lot in the way of our, you know, we have really good funding, we have really good opportunities, a lot of career opportunities. We handle more calls for service per year than any other agency in the area. I mean, I think at our highest year, we almost reached 90,000 calls for service. And so, again,
that's a lot of calls.
And, again, so there's a lot to do, and there's a lot of opportunity. So kind of in contrast to, like, a larger police agency, so let's say you go, and let's just say you want to go apply with, you know, Los Angeles Sheriff's Office or LAPD, a big agency like
Huge
that.
Huge agency, yeah.
We've had candidates who've come to us who have applied to those agencies. Well, you know, sometimes you're looking at up to a year just to get through their entire hiring process.
Uh-huh.
And again, so if you're trying to get into the career field, you know, it takes an extensive period of time. And then let's say you are able to get hired on, you go through the academies, you complete everything. Let's say your dream is to one day become a detective. You know, you want to be an investigator. And, you know, when you're in a big agency like that, and they have an opening in investigations, let's say, you know, that could take a long period of time for you to even be eligible, you know, upwards of 5 to 7 years maybe to be eligible to apply.
Uh-huh.
And then with so many other employees, that's a lot of competition. So if you just have a few detective openings, you could have a very steep competition that you're up against in order to get that position. One of the things nice about Farmington PD is that we have just about every specialty that a large agency would have. But again, once you're off probation, you're able to apply for these specialty positions, and it gives a lot of diversity, and you'll find that people, you know, working at an agency our size can actually go through their police career and have worked, you know, a handful of specialties throughout their career, have a real diverse background from those specialties, whereas, you know, if they were working for a bigger agency, they just maybe, you know, focused on one career path. And so some of the specialties that we offer is we offer, as far as investigations, we have our detective division, we have our narcotics division also, You can be a school resource officer. School resource officers, they handle they're assigned to all the schools within the city of Farmington jurisdiction. So they work with the schools, they work with the administration of the schools and a lot of, juvenile law and things like that. They also administer a lot of great programs for the members of our community.
And we recently placed one at the college as well.
That's
on
correct.
Our campus.
Yeah. We also have a bike patrol position. So we have a DCU position as well, which is our district coordinator unit. They work a lot with the community, a lot with the businesses. They have a lot of different initiatives. They're planning a lot of our big community events as far as the involvement of the police department, is like Connie Mack's coming up and things like that. DCU is going to be heavily involved there.
Making sure the events are safe for the public.
Yes, exactly. Well, they have a bike division where basically they go around and they patrol and ride bikes, and they go through Berg Park and some of those areas where the bikes give us a better opportunity to patrol those areas. We have our bomb squad, and we have our special weapons and tactics team. Those are both part-time specialties that you can be a part of. We have opportunities to work as a canine officer. Us and I think Bloomfield PD are the only two agencies
one.
In the area that actually have a canine division.
Yeah, and yeah. We've got four. At this time,
correct.
We currently have four. Yeah,
yep,
four
we have four canine officers. We also have a gang division, and so again, we just have a variety of things. We have a traffic division. So many specialties that you can go into, and I think for us, that's one of the attractive things about our agency. Again, is because you can do so much, and it's nice to be able to be a part of these specialties and to diversify your background. And I know I speak for everyone out there that a lot of jobs. You get kind of bored with the monotony of doing the same thing day to day. And the nice, one of the things I love about law enforcement and about our agency is the fact that we offer a lot to do. And about every 3 years, if you're looking for a change and you want to do something new and move to another division, you can move all over, and we have lots of opportunities.
Or promote.
Absolutely.
You can promote as well. So a lot of good benefits with working for Farmington Police Department. Another benefit is take-home cars. A lot of agencies don't offer that because they can't.
Absolutely. Farmington PD, once you basically finish the field training officer program as a certified officer, will allow you to have a take-home unit, and it can travel anywhere within, I think, 30 miles of city limits. I'd have to double-check on that one for you.
I can't remember what it is.
But it's a pretty extensive range. I don't think we have any officers that had any kind of issue.
Yeah, we haven't
had the ability to take a car home.
An issue. Okay. Yeah, we offer, we'll supply pretty much all of your equipment, which is another benefit. A lot of things that a lot of people don't know about a lot of agencies is, you go to work for Las Vegas Metro. Well, they make you provide a lot of your own equipment. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. You have to go purchase your own firearms. You have to, purchase a lot of stuff. And they have pool units where you show up to work every day. You have to drive a pool unit. You don't get a take-home vehicle. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the incentives that we have being a smaller agency that a lot of people don't necessarily consider, is that being, that mid-size agency, our officers, right, you get your own unit, your own equipment. You don't have to share with anyone else. And so that is a perk, absolutely.
Well, and we also put our candidates through the academy, as opposed to in some areas you have to pay to put yourself through the academy, and then you have to find a job
Yes.
you get hired on. So here it's, we go ahead and vet you, we hire you, and we pay to put you through the academy.
That is
so
correct.
You're not
out there. So if you basically pass our entire hiring process that we previously had gone through, once you're employed with us, you're a full-time City of Farmington employee, which means you're eligible for all of the benefits, to include your insurance plan, to include your retirement's already starting, and then your educational incentive pay is already starting if you come in with any kind of education. And then we pay you to go to the academy. And like you'd previously mentioned, if you were to travel, just an hour north and want to work in Colorado, for example, a majority of the Colorado agencies require that you basically pay to put yourself through an academy, which means not only are you not getting a paycheck while you're attending the academy, but you're actually paying them to be there. So it becomes very difficult to do financially for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Where if you come to work for us, not only will your retirement and health insurance benefits and stuff start right away, but we're going to pay you to attend the academy, your hourly rate, and then we're going to pay for any part of the bill that would come with you attending the academy, which means Corporal Bloomfield here mentioned, you're going to get, you know, all of your equipment paid for down to a boot allowance to buy boots, to your uniform being fully supplied, all of your duty gear fully supplied, your sidearm fully supplied, all that's going to be supplied. And then we're going to supply you with the ammunition you're going to need while you're in the academy. Any and everything that you could come up with that would have any kind of financial implication, we're going to cover for you.
Sure. And that's a great perk, because how do you put yourself through an academy and work to take care of yourself too? It's a full-time thing.
For a lot of people, again, it's a huge financial investment just to get started, and sometimes just to get to a point to where they could just apply once they're certified, and there's no guarantee, and so sure. That's kind of a risk involved there. Whereas with us, if you can get through the process, we'll invest in you, and of course we're investing in you, because once you've passed everything, you've met the standards to be an asset to the agency.
Absolutely, and an asset to the community. Okay, before we go to our next break, we've got FPD highlights and crimes of the week. So in the early morning of July 18th, residents in the areas of Crescent to Melrose woke up to find their vehicles had been broken into. Approximately 13 vehicles had been burglarized, and items of value were taken, and other items were located in the road and in residents' yards. And these incidents are being investigated by FPD. We'd like to remind citizens to help deter criminals by locking their vehicles and removing all valuables. A majority of our auto burgs are happening to unlocked vehicles, or if it's what we call a smash and grab, somebody's seeing something of value laying there and smashing the window, taking those items. So please make sure you're removing all of your valuables and locking up your vehicles. On to a break now.
Warm weather can literally be a killer for a dog left inside a car, or even in the bed of a truck. Did you know that on warm days, the inside of a car heats up very quickly? When it's 85 degrees outside, the temperature inside a car can soar to 104 degrees within 10 minutes, even with the windows left slightly open. The Farmington Police Department's Animal Control Division wants to remind citizens to help keep our four-legged community members safe by leaving them home with access to plenty of water and cool shelter on these hot summer days. The Farmington Police Department, your department, our community. Hello, community. I'm Georgette Allen with the Farmington Police Department. Join Chief Hebby and me on the Cop Shop with FPD. Gain insight into the world of law enforcement as we discuss a broad range of topics pertaining to the police and your community. Hear from special guests and stay in the know with the top crimes of the week. Listen to the Cop Shop with FPD every Wednesday at noon on KSJE 90.9 FM. The Farmington Police Department, your department, our community.
The New York Times called it the most important orchestra in America, period. I'm Brian Lauritsen. Join me for a series of concert broadcasts by the LA Phil, 6 performances conducted by Gustavo Dudamel, plus guest appearances by Yuja Wong at Esa-Pekka Salonen, highlights from the Reykjavik Festival of Icelandic Music, and a quartet of Alphorns. Yes, Alphorns. It's all part of this season at the LA Philharmonic.
Friday evenings at 7 on KSJE Farmington.
Tune into Turntable Taxi on KSJE Saturday nights at 8 o'clock. Each week, we select a musical style and play 78s, 45s, and 33 RPM records. Some of our themes will include swing music, blues, heart-wrenching torch songs, early rock and roll, girl groups, soul, and R&B.
Local news and information, jazz, and classical music. It's all here on KSJE Farmington, 90.9 FM and HD.
Hi, and we're back on the Cop Shop with FPD. I'm Georgette Allen, Public Information Officer with the Farmington Police Department. Before we go back to our guests, I have a fun fact about law enforcement again. So the first female officer, Marie Owens, she was actually born in Canada. She was the first officer in the United States and was hired by Chicago PD in 1891. Also paving the way for women, though, played a big part in law enforcement for women, was Alice Stebbins Wells. She was the first American-born female police officer. She joined the LAPD in 1910 after a very long battle of petitioning with many citizens who supported her. She went on to become the founder and first president of the International Police Women's Association and traveled through America and Canada to promote the hiring of female officers. She became a sergeant in 1934 and then retired in 1940. So we thank her for paving the way for other females in the industry. So back to our guests here with Corporal Nick Bloomfield and Officer Brandon Downs with our training and recruiting division. And speaking of females, what is the percent of, like, nationwide of females in law enforcement?
So the national standard for females in law enforcement is anywhere from 12 to 14%. Farmington PD is currently sitting at 12.7% of our staff is female employees, as far as sworn officers.
Sworn officers.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
And then we have many more in other areas in the civilian divisions.
Absolutely.
And whatnot. So, okay. So for a recap for our listeners, why FPD? Why would I want to become an officer with the Farmington Police Department?
We offer many benefits, like Corporal Bloomfield had previously mentioned. As far as any type of specialty that you would want to go into, any area of interest, we have numerous specialties. The most possible specialty units offered throughout anywhere in this region whatsoever. And then on top of that, it's hard to beat. The incentives that we give as far as the amount of time off that we're going to offer you, the educational incentives that we give you, and then the retirement is a very big deal. For example, Officer or Corporal Bloomfield had mentioned, if you want to start as a CSO at age 18 and you start paying into a retirement right then and there, you can retire in your first career, in all reality, at age 43. And there's a lot of people that I know of in this day and age who haven't even necessarily picked a career at age 43, much less be already retiring
for one.
So
you could be on to your second one at that age.
Absolutely. And then actually on that same topic, as far as maybe a second career, let's say that you went into the military right out of high school and you started at 18 and you did a full career in the military and you retire out of the military. You think, okay, what am I going to do now? Because there's plenty of people that do 20 years in the military and then get out and, they're not necessarily ready to retire. Maybe they have kids that are just now in high school or something and they've got to put them through college. We don't have an age limit either. We've recently put somebody as old as 58 years through our police academy. If you can meet the physical standards that we require and then pass all the rest of our entry-level exams that we've previously talked about, then we have no problem hiring you and putting you through the police academy.
Sure.
And I think that also ties into, a lot of people ask, well, what are you looking for? I think there's a lot of stigmas out there about, police work and, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm a female, or whatever. To us, it's one of those things where we have a diverse community and we recognize the value of having a diverse police force and we want a diverse police force. And that's really the biggest thing. We benefit from that as an agency. And so it doesn't matter, what your background is, whatever demographic you fall in. You have something to offer FPD and you have something to offer your community. And that's really, the biggest key to all of this is, where we all come together is we all hold ourselves to those same standards and the caliber of people that we're looking for. But, and it really is true if you want to, if you want to challenge yourself, if you want to push yourself to be something better, if you really want to, make a difference in the community, make a difference in for yourself, your family, your acquaintances and all those things, then definitely we want you to come and look at law enforcement. I think that a lot of people will find that, it's a very satisfying career. It's like a lot of things, as long as you're willing to invest in it, then you'll find that it's very, very gratifying. I think for myself, and I'll let Officer Downs close out with why he got into law enforcement. the thing I love the most about this job is that you get to show up with a team of diverse people from all different backgrounds, but we all have the same mission and the same goal. We have a problem that's in front of us, a problem that affects our community and everyone involved. And as a group of like-minded individuals, we get to work together to solve that problem. And when you're able to do it and everyone comes out okay and we're able to better the community and better ourselves, that's extremely rewarding and extremely gratifying. And it's hard not to get excited about a career in law enforcement when you look at it that way.
Absolutely, yeah. You're making it better for the place you live in.
Absolutely.
For all the families here.
And mine's pretty similar. I mean, I enjoy challenging challenges in general in my life, and police work is definitely that. And the fact that I get to go to work every day, and no day is the same. You know, I don't have to necessarily be in an office behind a computer. My office is my car, and I can take my unit anywhere that I need to go to in the city limits for anything that comes up, whether it be something that I come across when it comes to helping somebody or a call for service that I'm going to. Is it's always different and it's always changing, and the ability to interact with citizens on a daily basis is a real you know, joy for me. I like getting out and interacting with people and seeing if I can help them and solve their problems and do whatever I can to make their day potentially better than it was before they saw me.
Sure. And Officer Downs, how long have you been in the training division?
Right at a year.
At a year?
Or close to it.
And Corporal, you've been in there?
I'm just about to finish out 3 years.
3 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you guys have a particular favorite area that you've, or specialty division that you've been in, or...
You know, I like them all. I think, you know, everywhere you go, you get it's like being a photographer. You pick up a different lens. You get a different perspective on everything,
sure.
You know. And so, you know, I enjoy being a member of the SWAT team. I enjoyed my time in narcotics as an investigator. I've enjoyed my time as training and hiring and recruiting. So it's all been good.
Great.
Yeah, I think that probably the most enjoyable specialty that I've had so far has definitely been the training division. Throughout my career, I've done detectives and I've done training, and I've got to do some time with our gang unit on a couple different special operations. And like Corporal Bloomfield mentioned, I'm a member of our SWAT team, which has its own challenges and fun perspective as well. But I truly enjoy getting out and to train people and to train our officers to better themselves, to basically provide a better product for our community.
Great. Thank you for sharing that little personal piece with us. And we are out of time now. I want to quickly invite everybody out to Coffee in the Park this Saturday from 7 to 10 at Berg Park at the parking lot off of San Juan Boulevard. And that's it for today on The Cop Shop with FPD.